Hey, welcome back to Channel 9 Live here at TechEd Europe 2014. In the keynote, you saw a bunch of really cool features around Azure AD, and joining me to explain some of that now is Mir from our Azure Active Directory team.
Hello.
So, what did we see in the keynote? What kind of cool stuff?
Yeah, what we see in the keynote is a set of capabilities that is now available in Azure AD. These are amazing days for Azure AD. We have so many new things coming up, and we have so much usage in our systems that is going on. It is used daily. The numbers are simply staggering.
Yeah, I mean, I heard we were having a little bit of a quick chat beforehand. We've got thousands of logons a day, right?
That's it's more like billions.
Millions, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have 350 million users. Actually, these are the users on the system.
Wow.
Now, and you think, I can create them with a batch of PowerPoint,
yeah
and just create them? No, but they actually do work. We are talking about real users doing real work.
Wow.
We are talking, we have, in our busy week, we have 18 billion authentications. Think about this.
That's utterly incredible. 18 billion authentications 18. Into Azure AD on a weekly basis is mind-blowing, I guess. When we look at what Azure AD is actually doing, it is the directory for a whole ton of services, things like Office 365.
Yes, so most of this traffic is coming from Office 365 users because Office 365 is a huge service and it's available in, it has high availability and high reliability. And the thing that drives the authentication for Office 365 is Azure AD.
That must be a kind of an amazing thing to be engineering because the ability to do it actually deal with 18 billion logons in a weekly process is pretty cool. I mean, when people actually say, why don't you just, you know, put some domain controllers in the cloud? That's the answer, right?
Exactly. And I'm the PM guy. I'm just doing the presentation. No one let me touch the system.
Yeah.
But there are real devs there, and they're doing DevOps, and it's amazing work, like keeping all of this. It runs in so many places around the world and serves so many users. It's simply staggering. Like, I think about it. Every time a user does something on Office 365 or on Azure, this is another service that we are running the authentication to, it's actually doing an AAD authentication request. This is a scale that I think no one actually experienced in our industry.
I'm pretty sure there's very, very few companies out there in the world that have the ability to globally manage that kind of logon number across their entire organization. There's probably hardly anybody in the world that actually copes with 18 billion logons a week.
It's kind
of incredible, really.
So for us, this is just the foundation. This is where we start. We have this 18 billion a week, and we have this all these users. And the numbers, by the way, are accumulating. Like every week, it's coming up and up and up.
It's pretty, I mean, every time I do anything with a presentation where we're talking about Azure AD, I literally have to, before the presentation, go and check the numbers again, because it's kind of vertical. We are just adding this capacity continuously. The number of users is just going through the roof. The number of capabilities inside of Azure is going through the roof. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, so this is the foundation. We try to build our services and offer you more value on top of that. Mm-hmm. So you already, like, if your company have Office 365, it means that you have you have an Azure AD tenant. Mm-hmm. If you sync your user, you sync them to your Azure AD tenant. So now you can take this tenant and do much more than just like Office 365 and stuff like that. So one thing we showed a year ago is the ability to add SaaS applications, so all these SaaS applications.
Yeah.
And we keep hearing organizations tell us, no, we don't have SaaS application. And then we ask them, OK, you don't have SaaS. Do you have application site X? Do you have site Y? Do you have people using your company Twitter? Do you have the people using your Facebook? And suddenly you see the lights.
Yeah, they suddenly realize. I mean, there's a tool that we can use inside of Azure, the Cloud Discovery tool, which will actually tell you inside of your organization how many people are using what particular SaaS applications. And that's just enlightening. Every time we show that to anybody and they run it.
Whenever we get this response of we don't have SaaS application or we have just one of them or two of them, we try to convince them, go in this and install the app discovery and see how many apps you really have and how much users are using it. So we're not talking about user going once a day to put a file something there. We're talking about constant usage. We're talking about something that is on the go. And users are actually relying on that. So you cannot, like, one of the reactions, okay, I would shut down everything. That's not working.
Yeah.
They will find your way around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to be able to enable these kind of things so that your organization can use them safely and securely, because the reality is that we're in a world where everybody's moving between different devices, their devices are becoming more mobile. And one of the key things about this, the world of mobile devices, whoa, there's a weird fly invading the stage.
We have
one
a fly
really
in
weird
life.
Things about, oh wait, whoa. One of the really strange things about the mobile device world.
We should have this paddle.
Yeah, we need like a big swatter thing. The apps are actually built to work with kind of this more SaaS application-based architecture. They're built to work in a more restful way.
Yeah,
and
so
we need the authentication.
Yes, instead of like ignoring the problem and instead of blocking the SaaS application, we tell you, bring them in, control them, audit them, have reports on them and security. And this is the essence of the Azure AD Premium. And we take that, and on top of that, we also now adding new capabilities, like the ability to take all these on-prem apps. So this is an easy sell, like everyone have on-prem apps.
Yeah, there's not a company out there that doesn't still have on-premises applications. I don't think there's anybody that would actually believe that we could have immediately moved every single workload that we have to the cloud. Utterly impossible. But we do have the ability now to be able to take something which is on-prem and make it seem a little bit more like a SaaS-based application with Azure Application Proxy.
Yeah, so there are companies tell you, forget about your on-prem, move everything to the cloud. There are companies tell you, everything should be on-prem, and even if it's cloud, just VPN to the cloud, which is, we think it's not the right way.
It's not a great approach. It's not natural.
It has its scenario, and we support that in Azure, but we want you to be able to put your apps, the on-prem apps, in the cloud, adding them to the same ecosystem that run your SaaS application and your consumer facing and whatever applications you have. So now you have one place for all the applications. When you assign users something that I would show you in a second, you do that from a single place. You don't have like two different places to assign users. You don't have jarring experience like here I do that and there here I do the other way. You don't have like I have groups here that doesn't show up here. Do you have the same group that represents your organization, and now they are, you're available to use them for all the apps?
And one of the cool things about the way that we actually, you have actually implemented this, is that you go to the My Apps portal, and anybody with an Office 365 account can just go try that today. Just go to myapps.microsoft.com. You'll see the application portal. You'll see your Office 365 apps already set up there. But we, with Application Proxy, we actually can now place your on-prem applications into exactly the same launcher. So it's available on the web. It's available as an app, say, on an iOS device. And then your users start to see those things all together. And we start to be able to simplify their sign-ons as well.
Yeah, it's a kind of one-stop shop. So the user, if they are using, for a reason I can't understand iPad, I don't know. I heard that there are one of two like this.
Yeah.
And if they're using these devices, they can download the My App application. Mm-hmm. And now they click on the, like Julia was doing in the keynote earlier, she clicks on that. It's a very simple application. You basically have the list of applications you're allowed to see. So it's not like a dumb icon list. It has a lot of logic behind it. Mm-hmm. So now you go to this and you click on the application you want to go. And you don't care if this is resides on-prem or in the cloud. You have single sign-on. Everything is audited. Everything is controlled. This is how we believe things should work. It should be as smooth and transparent to the user. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the IT admin to decide if they want to deploy this application here or there. Of course, we want them to move to the cloud. Azure, even better.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very good cloud for them.
Yeah, yeah. We can deal with many, many authentications. And
yes, but
it's built for real hyperscale, in fact.
But whenever your application is, we allow you to plug it in. So we support whatever technology. If your application is doing HTTP, we are supporting that. That's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of server, backend server, any type of it can be hosted on your actual on-prem. It can be hosted on a VNet somewhere that you have, on a cloud service. Whenever it is, wherever it is, we
I guess you could even have it inside of a hoster in a completely disconnected network or something. It is completely
correct.
Possible to do that. I think we should start to have a little bit of a think about how web app proxy comes together, or rather app proxy comes together, and how it actually gets built out. So if I need to go and deploy this, what's my starting point for deploying app proxy on-prem?
Yeah, so the starting point is go to your AAD tenant. Mm-hmm. So the basic thing you need to have is to have Azure AD Premium. Mm-hmm. At least for the you should start with the user that is actually doing the admin work, but later you have to also do the same for users that want to access these applications. So it is, by the way, very easy to get a trial. I can show it to you.
Yeah, inside of the Azure AD portal, you can very quickly go and grab a trial as soon as you've got one. As soon as you've got an AD tenant. So
yes.
Let's take a quick look at exactly how we go through and do that. So you're inside of your Azure tenant here.
Yes. So I just go to licenses and ask for a trial. It's as simple as that. And then I have to assign users. So you can see here I assign just user, which is the test user. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, few clicks, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
And then you have the full capabilities of Azure AD Premium. So if you're thinking, do I want to purchase it or not, just take it for a spin. It's very easy to just start it.
It's really easy to just start understanding. And one of the cool things about the AD Premium trial is that it actually gives you 100 user accounts out of the box. So you can then start to assign those licenses out. And you've mentioned a couple of times auditing. We know how important auditing is for people. And one of the coolest things about Azure AD is that we start to be able to provide now auditing, which we turned on a few weeks ago, but also more kind of, well, specialized reports, really, are amazing.
Yeah, it's a very cool feature. If I go here on the Reports tab, you see we have all these kinds of special reports. And we have stuff that I don't think anyone actually do on-prem and even in the cloud. For example, we monitor all the data we have on virus detection. Mm-hmm. We have lots of data there. And then we take all this data, and we have the IP addresses of machines mm-hmm. that actually have a breach.
Yeah.
We know that this machine has a virus. Mm-hmm. Now, this could be like the employee personal device. Mm-hmm. You cannot put antivirus
yeah,
there.
You might have no monitoring over that whatsoever.
Whatsoever, but you might want to audit this. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if I have an employee that on his personal device access the work, with his username and password, maybe there is a keylogger there. Mm-hmm. Maybe something happens there. So now I have a report that shows me who in my organization logged in from a machine that have virus.
Yeah,
that have
a possibly infected device, which I think is the actual name of the report. And it's amazing that we can do that.
Yeah, and think about, like, it's again, we hear customer telling us, no, we enforce, we have policies, but if you allow BYOD devices, if you mm-hmm. allow your employees to get from their own devices,
yep.
by design, you are going to have devices that are not fully secure. And even if you put few measures to assure that and to try to control it and try to sandbox it, still, it's going to happen. To ignore this fact is wrong.
Yeah, completely.
And here, we in Azure AD, we give you the tools, actually, to have the visibility. And I
don't know anybody else that actually has that technology. I mean, there's nobody that's dealing with all of those logons for that. And that single Azure platform can do some really amazing things. The ability for the platform to learn a user's actual usage patterns is pretty incredible stuff, because we can actually see when something suddenly becomes out of pattern for somebody with their sign-on activity, which is amazing.
Yes, this is a very hard to demo, this feature,
yeah.
because
yeah.
you actually need someone to do mm-hmm. something very suspicious, and we all the time play with that. And I really encourage people at home not to buy my word. So we are not selling here slideware. Mm-hmm. We're selling a service that is working and functioning. Just go there, turn your tenant, enroll to Azure AD Premium, and start spinning these features. And start doing stuff like that. If you have like a test machine at home, go to your kids' machines. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I have a 9 mm-hmm. years old. She installed whatever she wants on her machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't try to stop that. She ignores what, if she wants to get to a game, she would click on every pop-up that shows up. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter which one. And go to this machine and try to log into the service. and you would see that. That's amazing.
And it's not just kids. You can imagine every single corporate user in the world is trying to do the same thing. They're just trying to play a game, and then they're accidentally infecting their machine and all of these kind of things, which normally you have no visibility of. So it's amazing that we can pull that in. And we can very quickly I call this going from insight to action with this, because we can do things. You see something which has been compromised, you can maybe go and turn on multi-factor authentication. And then you instantly start to be able to reclaim control of that account.
Yeah, actually, Joe Belfiore was showing earlier how he's doing multi-factor with Windows. Think about how this all together working to create this experience, which is not blocking users, allow them to do stuff, but controlling them and give you, as an IT admin, all the tools to see that and control. So if you want, we can...
Let's take a look back into actually maybe setting up the application proxy, though, for a while.
Yeah, so here we have the list of applications in my tenant. You can see I have a bunch of SaaS applications. I have Facebook here. I have Salesforce. And yes, we do support them. We actually support 2,400 applications.
It's a moving target trying to remember what the number is. And it does keep going up continuously. But it's the kind of thing which, frankly, is amazing because it's being driven by the people who are using the system already. They're already just suggesting additional SaaS applications that we should be supporting. And the product team is actively out there looking at that information, bringing it in, and actually enabling those applications really quickly. And one of the numbers that we hit recently was there's 50 applications inside of that are part of the application portfolio which do full STS-based authentication, which is actually amazing. The fact that you don't then have to go through kind of certificate exchange processes with the third party is pretty cool.
We pre-integrate with them, we predefine them. We have all these applications that use actually SAML, which gives the ideal end user experience. It works from any device. You don't need any plugin, anything. It just works.
Yeah.
And this is so different than how we did this in the past. You had to go and exchange. You actually had to talk to the guys on the other side, which, we are IT guys. We don't like to talk.
Yeah. As the less talking we actually have to do, if we can just like automate everything, it's going to make our lives a whole lot easier. So every time we can do that is pretty amazing. I think there's a bunch of very neat stuff inside of being able to set up the app proxy, but maybe we should talk about how it's going to fit together and work.
Yes. So let's see how this is actually working. So right now I'm talking magic, but let's see how this is built. The basic idea is that you have something we call connector, which is a very small footprint device that small footprint installation that you make. You just install that, and then you forget about it. You don't need to update it. You don't need to monitor it. You don't need to do anything with this machine. It's just there. It can be anywhere on your corp net that you want it to be.
That's kind of interesting. It could be anywhere on your corporate network. So there's no need to put this into the DMZ.
Oh, this is why I have this empty square here.
Okay.
And let me give you a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. This is going to remain empty.
Okay. That's going to be quite an interesting diagram. So I'm not going to jump ahead there. There's probably going to be a bunch of questions. I've got questions for you. So they're probably going to come in. So if there's any questions coming in, please let us know so that we can directly ask the expert exactly around what you want to know.
Yeah, so once you install the connector, the first thing it's doing is dial up to the service. So the connectors open the connection to the service. Nothing goes in, only things go out. So basically the only requirement we have of the connectors is for them to be able to access our service in the cloud, the Azure application service.
So not only does it not need to sit in the DMZ, there's no need to make strange firewall changes. It's just presumably 443 and 80?
Yeah, there are a couple of them. We have them in our MSDN page, so you can see exactly what we're using. But for most of organizations, it's not a problem because it's standard everyone opens them. Yeah. And it allows us to deploy things in minutes. Like, think about remote access in the past. It was a project of week, of months. So yeah. your CIO come to you and tell you, please install a remote. I want remote access for my SharePoint, my new SharePoint project. And you say, okay, mm-hmm. I need 6 months for that, a month of planning. 2 months to allow everything goes into the DMZ because it goes through inspection and scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And the security team now have to authorize it. It's a long process.
Yeah.
We hear that from customers. So we are taking that, and also with our Windows Server, we have a web application proxy. We reduce this time in the traditional model to maybe days. Mm-hmm. But now with the Azure AD application proxy, we're going to reduce this time to minutes. And again, don't take my word for that. Go there, install the connector, and mm-hmm. see how easy it is, how fast it is getting traffic.
I mean, I've actually installed the connector a couple of times. It's probably about a 5 minute job end to end to get it configured. The actual connection of the connector up to the Azure service is kind of interesting, because you download basically the generic binaries, and then you have to move on from there you have to tell the connector and Azure what to connect to. Can you describe that in a little bit more detail?
Yeah,
as well?
So during the installation, we prompt you to put your Azure AD admin credentials mm-hmm. there. So you have to log in as an admin, and this is a proof that you have the right to put that. So if not, someone can maybe spoof stuff or anything. This is the way we prove that. Now, after you do this process, we create a certificate. We issue a certificate that now identifies this specific connector. Mm-hmm. And this certificate could be put in your secured store on the machine. So it's like protected like any other certificate that you manage. And from this point onward, the connector have two-way authentication for the service. So the connector, when it connects to the service, it authenticates that it's actually the service that it connects to, so no one would be able to go through. And it's also the other way around. We are using certificate authentication to verify so the service is sure that the right connector is connecting. Mm-hmm. So we have two-way SSL certificate. This is like the strongest way to assure that there is a one-to-one relationship and we have full control about everything that is going through here.
So it's a pretty easy, simple setup, actually, because you just type in a password, and that just happens in the background. All the certificate enrollment just occurs. What about if you... Most companies aren't just going to go and roll out one single connector. What about if you need to think about high availability and disaster recovery, those kind of things? What's the way of doing that? Presumably, you need kind of lots of complicated network load balancing and...
So, first of all, you have already this infrastructure on-prem. But if you want to deploy, but we don't require this for the connectors. So, the connectors, you can put as many of them as you want. Mm-hmm. And when they dial to the service, the service side, we look at them. And once we authenticate the connectors, we have like a pool of connectors waiting to get traffic. And then when a request is coming, the service is actually making the choice, like, okay, which connector should I use? And we load balance between these connectors. It's done on the fly. And also, if, let's say, one of your connectors is now down, it's not available, we have the other ones to take care of that. So
it actually sounds like the way that you've built the connector is exactly like you would think of, I don't know, maybe like a platform as a service type instance where it's just almost a... you can just turn a server off and it's not going to affect the overall service. It's just going to be available. You can recycle them quite easily.
Exactly.
I guess you can scale them out. If you're if you need to be able to scale, it's very easy to just scale out by adding another server.
Yeah. You just add more servers. So let's say the only thing you actually have to configure on the service, and this is what Julia was doing on stage on the keynote, is to put is to tell us what is the internal address and what are the external address, mm-hmm. and now the users are able to go to this external address. They can go there directly, or they can go through the MyApps, like the what we call access panel, mm-hmm. that allow you to see all the list of applications, and then the service is doing the rendezvous. it matches the request coming from the connectors to the request coming from the users, and now we can complete the service, and you have end-to-end connectivity from the device to the resource.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Listen, that's kind of a very clear way of being able to do it. Can you run us through the configuration inside of Azure,
yeah,
though?
Yeah,
I think it's always interesting. It always throws up some extra kind of areas. We've had a great question coming in, which we're going to ask in a couple of seconds as we configure the connector. So
okay,
let's just run through that config.
Yes, it is very simple. So you get to this wizard where you add applications to Azure AD. You have here the applications. If you're developing and you want to integrate an application in your organization, you have the app gallery, which are all the SaaS applications that we talked about.
The 2400 that are already pre-integrated.
Yes. Yeah. And now the third option is the application proxy applications. So we just choose a name. Let's call it My Site. And it verifies that this is a unique thing
so that's
in my
just
tenant.
Making sure that the name is unique inside of your organization.
In
that's
my organization, that's it.
And that's just to make it so that your users don't get confused.
Yeah, we actually had a question from someone asking if they want they need to book all the good names in advance. Yeah. So no, it's only on your tenant.
Just for your tenant. Yeah.
So now we generate an external address just for you. You see here. It uses a Microsoft public domain called msappproxy.net. We maintain the certificate. We have the certificate for that. We maintain this certificate. And we also maintain this name, so you don't need to go through DNS settings. Zero DNS settings. The experience that we showed in the keynote doesn't require you to do anything on your DNS. It doesn't require you to do any SSL certificate. It just works.
It literally is that it just. We've had a question from John Davis, which is basically about this. When you have, when you go to a website, and it's a secure website, it's over HTTPS. You're going to get an SSL cert. In this case, the way that we kind of move around the issue of you having to issue a cert to the website is that we own the domain name. We issue the cert on your behalf for your application.
Yes.
So, I guess there is a point of uniqueness there in that for your individual. Tenant, you might need to make sure you get the
yeah. So we
URL.
Hear this request. We know that customers really got their users accused to they used to using a specific to access only a specific domain, and they want their domain name, and it's good. We are going to provide this service, and we were going to provide a way for you as an IT admin to upload your certificates and to give you the information to configure the DNS routing. But this is where we give you all the information, we give you all the tools, but you as an IT admin have to take care of that.
Yeah, because that is if you're going to use a vanity URL, then you're actually going to have control over that certificate in order to be able to move that next step. It's not something that we can't magically solve that problem for you. We need to make sure that everything is still secure and your users still maintain trust in the site.
Correct. Now, the next setting here is the pre-authentication method. And for us, pre-authentication means that before we give you access to anything, we go and verify your identity. And maybe this is done again in the back-end on-prem applications, but again, we don't let any traffic go through until we pre-authenticate it. This means, this is what stands behind the pre-authentication with Azure AD. We route the user to AD, and we asked him to authenticate. Now, of course, if he already authenticated to Azure AD, maybe because he opens the My Apps or the iOS app, or maybe because he runs the new thing with Windows 8.
Or maybe they've just already signed into Office 365.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they might just already be signed in. They're in a single SSO session within their browser.
So if all of this is okay, then the Azure AD STS just give you a thumbs up, and we are giving you the ability to access the on-prem. Of course, you can still have the option to do what we call pass-through, like okay, we let everything go without controlling that.
And if you have an application on-prem which then requires its own authentication. Presumably, you're then going to get that authentication method on top of the Azure AD one, unless you've integrated the app with Azure AD.
Yeah, so We think that the pass-through is good for example, if you have API calls and all these kinds of things where it doesn't have a real user and you cannot show the Azure AD login page because there is no one there to show
to render it.
And all this stuff. This is the reason that we also maintain the option to do pass-through. Just let the application take care of that. We still take lots of load on our side to do stuff, security stuff. Think about if we terminate the SSL in the cloud and then we start it again, we are actually preventing lots of attacks. Mm-hmm. Think about, we didn't have it, but there is another operating system that had a bug called Heartbleed.
Yeah.
And it was a bug in the SSL stack. And if you just did termination of SSL and opening a new one, it means that your applications were not, even if your application had this bug and was using, I don't know why you want, but these operating systems, the service in the cloud would actually stop these malicious SSL attacks. Now you can ask me, okay, but maybe you in Microsoft would have a bug like that, and I say, yeah, saying that we would not, that's...
Yeah, I mean, we've got the whole SDL, the software development lifecycle, secure development lifecycle, which helps us through all of that. But and there's a good chance that, you know, we're okay.
Things happen.
Yeah, things happen. We can never really project.
And the way that, and what we are doing, we are actually patching the systems on the fly. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft have this 24/7 service internally, where we monitor all the security threats. And once we found something, we are actually patching our own systems. So even if the Microsoft stack do have anything, I hope it would not.
Yeah, touch
wood. We would maintain our current record. Then we would patch it immediately. We are doing this very quickly, and we are able to go and do a QFE, quick fix engineering, immediately to the system. And again, you don't need, as an IT admin, you don't need to do anything. We are doing that on the cloud, and to maintain the resilience of the system.
So the final things that we need to provide, I guess, are whether it's going to be HTTP traffic or HTTPS. If I was to select HTTP here, but I also had Azure AD Auth in place, would it actually make me authenticate before it allowed me access to the site?
Yes.
So this could essentially be a way to add an extra layer of security, I guess.
Yeah, we try not to get our customers to do the wrong thing. So if we are having pre-authentication, we require HTTPS. And again, it's not a problem for the customer because we take care about the certificate and all the hassle behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But if you want to do pass-through, then it's up to you. We allow you to do it either. Actually, this is why we have this knob here. It will allow you to do this either HTTP or HTTPS. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing to put here is just to tell us what's the internal app. Maybe this is like an HTTP internally. Mm-hmm. And here you go.
So just on the site that you're connecting to internally, presumably we know that it works okay with IIS. I'm guessing Apache is good?
Yeah? Yes, Apache is good. Anyone that talks HTTP, we are good with both on the client side and on the server side. We don't have any coder that runs and do anything. We don't have plugins. We don't require you to have plugins. Everything just works from any device that is doing HTTP and any server that supports HTTP.
Yeah, so it should work with the SharePoint server, for example, that's on-prem. As we saw in the keynote demo, we were able to publish that SharePoint server, the on-prem version, out onto the internet without having to do weird, complicated reconfig stuff.
Yeah, it's the same SharePoint server. The only thing you need to do, like in everything, you need to do like configure the AAM settings so the SharePoint is aware to the external address. But that's it. That's everything. As you saw, it was a plain vanilla SharePoint that I spin up on Azure like a week before the keynote.
Yeah.
And believe me, I am very, very bad SharePoint admin. I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, there. I think there's a lot of people out there that aren't actually specific SharePoint devs, and this makes it a lot easier to be able to do this kind of publishing. This is one of the most fabulous ways of looking at one of our hybrid services. So you've got the ability to take something on-prem, simply connect it up to the cloud in order to be able to make it more accessible to people on multiple different types of devices, which I guess is one of the reasons why it starts to form a part of our EMS offering overall as well.
Yes.
It's kind of neat the way that we've kind of bundled and built all this stuff together. In terms of kind of other things that you might need to think about configuring here, are there any limits to the number of sessions that you can publish, the number of apps that you're allowed to publish in terms of things running through the app proxy?
Yes, currently we are still in preview. We are working on getting the performance number, and this is why we are in preview. We take general availability very seriously, and we are going to announce that hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay, I was about to say, is there any kind of hints for the audience on when you are going to announce general availability?
Yeah, and we are going to take down the preview tag, and we are doing that only for the reason that we want to be sure that we give you the right service. We don't want you to rely on us before we are sure that we can provide the scale and capabilities and resilience that we want to provide.
But it does mean that now is the right time to, there's a reason for calling it preview. It is the right time to be going and previewing it, trying it out on your own services, seeing if they work correctly, seeing if they're doing exactly what you need them to do, because it's time to start moving us forward into a new way of working.
Yes, and this week, this is like the keynote was the first time we showed the new capabilities. So the pre-authentication with Azure ID, it was the first time.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to show you another thing for the first time. It's the assignment of users. Mm-hmm. So if I go to my application now, after I create it, I can download the connector here. I can download as many connectors as I want. Mm-hmm. And then I can assign users to that. And I can look at my groups, the groups that are defined. And again, these groups could be coming from the on-prem AD. These are the same groups.
So you could actually end up in a situation where you've actually created a group in your on-prem AD. It's been synchronized up with Azure AD. So in order to add your users to have access to the app, you would go into Active Directory users and computers and add them in the on-prem AD.
Correct. Yeah.
So it doesn't even have to change the way that you're managing your users internally anymore. It just happens.
Correct.
Yeah.
The same group assignments that you know are working here. And then I assign a specific group to this application. Let's say this is for the marketing team. And that's it. Now all the users of the marketing team that have a AD Premium license assigned to them can go and get to this application.
And that leverages another element of AAD Premium, which is the ability to do self-service group membership. And that means that you can actually have the situation where people are able to self-publish themselves an application.
Yeah, so
if that's what you wanted, if that's the way you wanted to design the system.
Yeah, there is a knob here in AD that does just let you turn on this group, the auto group management. Mm-hmm. So you can assign users to this group, and you can have like users that are allowed to go to application X. And you can delegate, you can tell, this group is managed by Maria. Mm-hmm. So now Maria approves all the requests. And you as an IT admin doesn't have to take calls. Your call help desk is not now dealing with, I need access to application that, and I need this, and you don't have your CEO in the middle of the night calling you, how do I add myself? They have a very nice UI to submit requests to join the group. Maybe this is a group that is auto-joined, so you don't need to do anything. Maybe you have someone that is authorizing all the users getting to the group, and you can delegate, let them approve that. So everything is like, and everything is also already always synced to on-prem, cloud on-prem. We give the same experience and the same infrastructure.
So it allows you to be able to create something really, really tightly integrated with the rest of Azure AD, actually. It really is a core feature of Azure AD, as opposed to being, you know, an additional product that comes in. I think it's one of the coolest things that we do with the ability to engineer in the cloud now. We can do all of that integration work for our customers.
In the past, we looked at remote access as a networking problem.
Yeah.
There are like vendors that still look at it like that. They sell you these boxes, and then you have to take these boxes and make them somehow work with your users. Mm-hmm. So now your users are not on that box. Your users are on your Active Directory on-prem in most cases, and in other cases they are now cloud only. We allow you to have cloud only users. And we find all these organizations that now have all users that were all around, and they were not actually provisioned into the organization. Now they have the ability not only to provision them and manage them in the same place, but to have also a good TCO for that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cheap to manage them on Active Directory, on Azure AD.
And we've also made it so that people can actually invite somebody to join the AD, which means that it then starts to become a very easy way to actually work with partners, as tons of organizations do, because you can create them as a cloud user inside of the AD, permission them up correctly. It's super simple. It doesn't mean that you have to have these strange guest accounts anymore inside of AD.
Yes, you're right. So in this week, we show three new stuff. We show the pre-authentication, we show the group and user and group assignments, the authorization, which is basically, and then we show also the access panel integration, so you get only the application that you're allowed to. We are going to add soon also the capabilities to do single sign-on to the backend. So if you're Simon at Contoso and you log in on Azure AD, directly via Windows 10 or via your app panel or whatever method you're using, then we take this identity and we tickle it all the way down to the SharePoint on-prem. Now, the cool stuff is that we are not going to change SharePoint in any way. So if you have this server that no one knows how to install anything, no one wants to install anything, or it's managed by another team, you don't need to do anything on
that. Or even worse, I mean, there's tons of organizations out there who have had somebody come in probably 6 or 7 years ago, they installed the app for them, they did all the config, then for some reason, cutbacks inside the organization, the contract went, nobody knows how to do the admin of the site anymore.
You don't need to touch the server, because we would use Kerberos constraint delegation to impersonate a Simon at Contoso. So the connector is now doing the KCD, the Kerberos delegation, and you get the same identity done from the on-prem all the way to this old SharePoint or Apache application or IIS application that do integrated Windows authentication. And we are thinking also on expanding that and allow more methods of how to give the identity all the way. We want to create this to make a highly robust and highly scalable experience here. We are also looking at ways to offer you to do geo-redundancy in a much smarter way, because the cloud now enables that.
It allows us to do that at that scale. Cool. Mir, thank you very much for coming in and joining me here.
It was
very much appreciated for coming in and explaining this to everybody. Please keep the questions coming in for the sessions that we've got coming up later on. We will be back very soon.